Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Just taking a look at what is going to go on Thursday on this radio program. Thursday is our annual Bald-Faced Truth Foundation radiothon and auction. And for those of you who are looking for some great items to potentially give to somebody during the holiday, this will be the event that can get you kind of some really cool once-in-a-lifetime experiences. And the best part of it is that it benefits kids in our community. So you're helping kids literally in our community by checking out Thursday's show and making donations and also bidding on auction items. It'll be an online auction. And frankly, that online auction will go live tomorrow morning. So I'll be tweeting it out early so you can even start bidding early. And if you want to, some of you yesterday jumped on it early and went to baldfacetruth.org and started making tax-deductible donations at baldfacetruth.org. We now have $12,500 in matching funds available. So any donations up to $12,500 will be matched dollar for dollar. So your dollar equals two. We also have some center court Blazers tickets for the game coming up November 20th. Guess who they're playing, Peter? 76ers at Moda Center. We've got center court seats for those for that game. Plus, we have center court row one seats, two seats available for people who want to sit in row one at Moda Center and watch the Blazers play somebody next season. This season or next season, Harvey Platt, longtime donor of the BFT Foundation, has donated his seats. You get your head together with Harvey and you determine which game you want to see. So, you know, you want to see the 76ers? Great. You can go see the 76ers. You want to see, somebody else, the Denver Nuggets? You go see the Denver Nuggets. So that is a mutually agreed upon auction lot. The Hillsborough Hops have offered up the opportunity for a winning bidder to travel out to Hillsborough and throw out the first pitch at a baseball game next season for the Hillsborough Hops. They donate that every year. It is a phenomenal experience. So that is all taking place Thursday. When you tune in on Thursday, don't be surprised if we're just giving away stuff like Oprah does and we're raising money to help kids. Our next guest has done a hell of a job at Oregon State. Great local story. The Boss family in Philomath, the legendary family there when you talk about sports and coaching and football and the other kind of football as well. Terry Boss is now at Oregon State as the men's soccer coach, kicking butt and taking names, top-ranked team in the country, Pac-12 champion. Saw him at Reser Stadium, just outside Reser Stadium, walking around on Saturday. Coach, thanks for making time for us. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me on. Thanks for the kind words.
Let's talk about growing up in Philomath and, you know, what you grew up watching. How big of an Oregon State fan were you as a kid?
Yeah, you know, they were the university right next door. So you're always aware. It's a place that I always held in really high regard. A lot of my friends went here. It's a place that's always been near and dear. As you grow up in the community and in college town so close to where you've grown up, it was lovely to have in your backyard.
You guys put it together this season, and I think Oregon State fans probably saw this coming a little bit because you had been successful in the last couple of years and were kind of sniffing around it. But what does a conference championship mean to your program?
Yeah, I think it's, look, I said it to our group, you know, we started this journey 4 years ago together, and there was always a belief in our group that this was the potential, this was a goal, this was a stepping stone. As we came together, we said that we wanted to win national championships, but we wanted to do it our way, and we wanted to play our football, and that's what I'm just so proud of this group, that from our first whistle in 2018 to our last whistle, we've always attacked the game our way, playing to win, playing to control the game. And so for us, you know, inside the locker room, it's a special moment when you watch young men achieve a part of the goal that they've set out for themselves. You know, that gives you goosebumps as a coach, you know. And so from that standpoint, to validate a belief that everyone held near and dear from the get-go, is a special moment. The thing I'm most proud about our group is that you look in their eyes and they're not content. They know they this is a big step for the program, but that they want more. And so there's certainly a confidence that comes with this. You know, it's a great conference. Every game tests you and makes you better. But I love where our group's at, the maturity to be able to enjoy a good moment, but understand that the work's not done yet.
Number one overall seed, you get a first round bye in the NCAA tournament. Selection show comes out. You see the one seed. What does that bye mean for you guys? Would you rather play, or are you good with sitting and watching for a round?
Absolutely. You want the bye. You always want the bye. That first game's on a Thursday, and then you got to turn around and play on Sunday. So that's always a tight turnaround if you're playing. And so for us, look. We've said it in our group, and that's what I love about our group. People ask me, did you want the number one seed? Of course we did. If there's something to compete for, we want to compete for it. And that's the heart and soul of this group, is we want to compete to be the best version of ourselves every single day. And part of that is going after the number one seed. What I would say is that big picture from a 30,000-foot level, you're as a coach, you're wanting to make sure you get a top four seed. And that means that you're at home, on your home field, and until the College Cup. So for us to be able to play in front of Beaver Nation on our home field, that's a massive advantage for us. That's a huge advantage for us, and we love that field. It's a special place, and so we want to be there as long as possible.
I want to talk about your family. Your brother Kevin's got a Super Bowl ring, you know, growing up. How important were sports in the Boss household?
Yeah, they were. They're a big piece of what we spend a lot of time doing. And, you know, credit to my parents. It was one of those things that we learned. We learned to fall in love with the game. You know what I mean? I think we both were allowed to explore our gifts, understand where, you know, we always kind of joke around that your sports choose you, you know. And so we were able to enjoy our gifts, enjoy sport. Not have the pressure of a helicopter parent just pushing it down your throat. And so we always laugh a little bit. People will call us like the hardest working guys. And it's like, no, we actually just were allowed to fall in love with the sport and enjoy it. And so when my clock goes off at 5 a.m. to get up and do a workout, that's not a sacrifice. I love what I'm doing, you know, because it never felt like an obligation to us. And so my parents did a great job instilling that in us, and we hope to pass that on to our children.
You're a goalkeeper as a college player and, you know, in your career. How did you find that position? Is that something you wanted to do, or do they stick you in goal when you're like 8 and you go, hey, this isn't so bad?
No, it was actually, you know, I actually didn't change positions until I was in high school, my senior year. And it was kind of our goalkeeper. I was a late bloomer. This wouldn't have fit early on in my career. As I made the change, it was just, again, one of those things that this was my fit. This is where I thrived, you know? And so I actually played as a center back all the way until, my senior year. And then that summer before my senior year made the change, and it just, I just ran with it, and I loved it. I just loved absolutely everything about it. And it opened doors, and I'm just so thankful for some of the opportunities that sport has provided.
Does playing center back when you're younger help you as a goalkeeper as you understand sort of defense and you know what that guy's dealing with?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't want to I don't know enough about baseball, but I always hear the analogy of a catcher and manager. Like, you're seeing the whole play, you're seeing the whole field at the whole time, you know. And so I think anytime, especially young players can play in different positions and understand different roles, I think that it helps their development of a player. And it certainly helped me. I was able to play with my feet. I was able to be more confident on the ball. And those are certain areas that helped me grow as a young man and a player.
How does a Pac-12 championship, a number one overall seed, help you when you go out, you the recruiting class that you're maybe, you know, talking to, and the living rooms you're in, and the campuses you're on in the near future? Does that open doors, or is it all about how you finish in this NCAA tournament?
No, I think everything helps, right? I think as a coach, you know, you take over a program, you know, 4 years ago, and you're selling a vision, right? You're selling a vision, and you're creating buy-in for a vision every single day. Every single day, the standard's relentless. Everyone asks if it's difficult. The most difficult thing is understanding the standard and holding people to the standard every single day, regardless. It doesn't bend, it doesn't break, that's the standard. And so as you come in and you cast vision and you get people to move along, pushing in the same direction, right, you're chasing a belief, right? You're chasing an internal conviction. When these things start to manifest themselves, certainly you have a little bit more credit in the bank to be able to go in and have these conversations and say, look, this is what I believe could happen, and this is what is happening. Are we satisfied here? No, we want to win a national championship. And so that's the next progression. That's the next evolution. And we're confident in this group. We think that we have the quality to go out and execute and perform at that level. But yes, to your question, that certainly helps. Anything in the recruiting game that you can show you can move players from point A to point B, program to point A to point B, and develop young men. And that's what we're really passionate about, developing young men to make them better people and better soccer players along the way. That's where the joy is, and that's where I think we've been able to create a family atmosphere, a family environment with a real clear identity in how we want to play. And young men have wanted to be a part of that, and we're really thankful for that.
Man, there are some people in Portland who don't like that you were a Sounders goalkeeper. they just need to get over it, man. It's just interesting how nutty people get when it comes to sports. Like, I appreciate the passion, but they're like, I can't believe you had a Sounders goalkeeper on your show. But, like, we're talking to Terry Boss, Oregon State men's soccer coach. Your time with the U.S. men's national team, how is that? Yeah. How has that helped you evolve?
I go back and I just consider myself incredibly fortunate. You know, I've as a player, I've learned from great coaches. As a coach, I've learned from great coaches. You know, Greg Berhalter is certainly one of those guys that I hold in high regard. That's certainly a guy that I like to bounce ideas off. A guy that we see things very similar, and I'm really thankful for the opportunity he gave me to help be a part of the program there. George Gilnovich is another one at Virginia. The guy showed me how to win national championships, and he's done a lot of that. So everywhere I've gone, I've just continued to try and learn. I've continued to try to take information in, understand and be real honest with myself about areas that I need to improve as a coach, and then get around people that are exceptional in those areas and try and grow, you know. And so that time with the national team was certainly a special time. You know, those are relationships that you'll have for the rest of your life. But being around that quality of player, watching how in short windows, how you have to get good information to the players. Sometimes players are flying in from across the pond, and you only have a couple of days before a game. And so you just realize how short time is and how dialed in you're teaching. You can't miss one word with those guys. You can't miss one word, or else you're wasting time. And so that's really helped me in terms of my ability to articulate, teach, show our guys the principles, and then quickly be able to see that manifest itself on the field.
Your parents did something right. You know, obviously two kids that have both risen and had success at the next level. I know you're the older brother in that equation, but, you know, Bob and Teresa, what did they do that the rest of us may be able to learn from?
No, I think I alluded to a little bit earlier, but they let us love the game, man. They let us play. They let us enjoy it. And then they open the doors that we want, you know, help open the doors that we showed a true desire to walk through, right? It wasn't forced. I never felt forced to play. This sports is an enjoyment, and I love it. And I believe that sports has the power to change the world. I really believe that. I mean, there's few things that give goosebumps watching, whether it's, you know, I go back to my brother winning the Super Bowl. I mean, that moment brings hope. That moment brings joy. That moment brings inspiration. And so that's what we're about. And again, that's always been a privilege. It's always been a joy to be able to do those things. These were never things that were pushed on us. And again, I think in a world where, look, the intentions of most parents are good, right? They want to do this and do that and do this, and before they know it, you see these kids that are just so busy they aren't even enjoying and don't understand that, man, sports should be fun. It should be fun, but there's also power in it. So we also, there's tension on that rope, and we need to wield that power with intentionality.
I like that. Terry Boss, our guest, Oregon State men's soccer coach. They are the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament, chasing a national championship at Oregon State. A lot of parents listen to the show, and I hear from parents all the time who say, hey, how do I get the attention of the baseball coach, the football coach, the soccer coach? You must receive inquiries and videos set to highlight music and expensive, yeah. You know, people are spending money to try to get attention. But I think you and your brother are a great example. You know, it's not like your brother was at Oklahoma. You know, you yourself at Tulsa, I think you were hurt your last year there and really had to go, you know, fight your way into MLS. You know, what advice do you give to parents who think they may have a kid who maybe can play on the D1 level?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm yet to see kids that have the quality go unnoticed, right? And I don't think that path is always linear. I don't think that means that they're always a five-star recruit. I think if you have the quality and you stick with it, we recently had a Navy SEAL be able to talk to our group, and I asked him, you know, what's the big picture idea that you want to pass on to your children? And he said, commitment is our only limiting factor. And man, it's spot on, right? It's spot on. And if a kid loves it, he's committed to it. And then I'll add this caveat, and it's a big piece of our program, but you have to have a purpose bigger than yourself. And that might be your family. That might be whatever it is. But you can't dig to the level that you need to dig if you're just doing it for yourself. Because if you just say you love something, you'll have competing loves. But if you have purpose, you'll always get up when that alarm clock goes off. And so for kids to be truly committed, I believe they're going to get a chance. Do the emails help with video on it? Yeah, I think that, as a coach, you're never going to say yes from a video, but you can say no, you know? And so from a good highlight video helps, you know, good music is never bad. If I'm hearing word every other word on the highlight tape, that's getting deleted pretty quickly, you know? So, I would just say commitment. The son's or daughter's level of commitment is going to open the doors for them. I think that's going to be clear.
What was it like trying to tackle your brother on the front lawn when you're playing touch football or tackle football when you were kids?
Yeah, it was great. It was great until he dwarfed over me, and I became just someone I couldn't even hang on to his leg, you know? So for the first 16 years of our life, it was great. Other than that, I'm not trying him anymore.
Yeah, I looked at his height. He's like 6'6", probably. He was like at his playing days, like almost 240, 250. You were 6'6".
I think he's even more than that. So I'm throwing in the white towel on that one. Even the big brother strength's not going to overpower that disparity.
Do you think, you know, we talk about this with the basketball coaches. They, you know, when they're recruiting, they'll look at sibling, and they're looking for, you know, especially in women's college basketball, if the kid has an older brother, generally a rebounder. Yeah, kid had to compete in the driveway, you know, growing up. In soccer, I don't know if you look at that as much as you are you looking for skills? Are you looking for a special person? What are you looking for?
Yeah, I mean, I think for us, we see the game pretty clearly in the sense that we've got a really clear game model, and we know how we want to play. And so then it's really easy to go out and specifically recruit the players that are going to make that game model go, you know? And so for different positions, we've got different characteristics that we know we need to work. But what I'll say trumps everything is when we're watching a player, and typically at this point, we've narrowed down the fact that this player has the quality to fit into our system and help make the game model thrive. And once we get to that point, now we're looking at the intangibles. We're looking at, is he a winner? And when we say winner, is he intrinsically motivated? Is he trying to get better? Is he caring for his teammate? Is he serving his teammate? Is he taking on information from the coach? When the coach talks to him, is he dialed in? Is he able to implement what the coach is asking him to implement on the field? These are the things that separate pros. These are the things that separate average players from great players. And so for us, yes, the quality, there absolutely has to be a standard for the quality. But we're looking much deeper for young men that want to compete every single day to be the best version of themselves. And we feel like if we get that, we've got a real good chance. Because you can't win championships on quality alone. I know everyone says it, but you have to have it. But if you don't have the characteristics, if you don't have this team first mentality, if you're not willing, and again, I hate to use the word sacrifice because there are some sacrifices to be great. There are some sacrifices, but again, if you love it, it's not a sacrifice. It's a momentary inconvenience to go where you want to go.
Terry Boss, Oregon State men's soccer. They are the number one seed in the NCAA tournament. Terry, we'll get you back on celebrating your national championship. I appreciate you and what you're building at Oregon State and what you've built there. It's a lot of excitement, and I know you know your games will be followed and sold out, so good luck to you guys the rest of the way.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me on.
There's Terry Boss, Oregon State men's soccer coach. That family, you got one kid with a Super Bowl championship, you got another kid.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.